think I'ma need an immunity treatment. If you and me met, then you will be left profusively bleeding. My crew is too vexed, and you can bet you get brutally beaten. With bruises and legions, you would think that it's two of me swinging. If you step, then I would suggest that you mute when we speak. And I am Zeus rebuking these demons, deep for Lucifer speaking. I'm Yusef, atomical bomb, marvelous arm arsonist. Yeah. Dark marauders with barbed armors and large harcabits. The god Sparta gets sparred with his archivist apostles. The second I connect the hook, you'll be swallowing your nostril. My squad is colossal, meet the messiah. You beating me, preach to the choir. Your lack of talent defeats the desire. Dripping elixirs got you oozing from your skull. Rapid movement with accuracy, we cruising in control. Cause epidemic is proven to be gold. You know, call us Dr. Scholes. We basically the solution for your soul, y'all. Yeah.
No snoozing, this is the solution. Tattoo.
Alright, hoods up, motherfuckers. Welcome back to Black Hoodie Alchemy. As always, I am your host, Anthony Tyler. I have another special guest in with me today. Real quick pleasantries. You could check out everything that we're talking about in the show description. Everything about my guest here, as well as any of the recent action that's come up in the new year, like with the show, like Patreon or the Discord chat. A lot of cool people in on the Discord chat, guests and listeners. That's been a lot of fun. And yeah, I'd like to see you there. Patreon, it's like $3.33 a month for an additional 3 hours of content, existential alchemy and analysis. So, you know, alchemy is the name of the game here on the show, but we branch out into a lot of different topics with that alchemical mindset. And sometimes we keep it alchemy specific, but on the Patreon, it's all things alchemy and very Jung heavy and things like that. Let's see what else. You know, check out the books. And, you know, without further ado, I'm very excited about this guest here. It's someone I've known for quite a while, but it's interesting how the internet works. You feel like you even get to know somebody and then you don't have like even like a Zoom chat conversation like this. So this is the first time that we're really, truly linking up. It's Miss Jess Rogie with me here in the chat. Host of Escape the Simulation Radio. You can find that. The best spot is YouTube, just doing lives there all the time with different guests. You can also find it streaming in, you know, Apple, Spotify, the places where you check out your podcast action. And you can link up with her on the socials. You know, we'll have that in the show description. Jess is a researcher, a longtime show host. She's someone that's, you know, was around doing her thing when I started, you know, just kind of branching out. And, you know, I met Joe Roop and her on the Fringe FM like at least 3 years ago now. Yeah. Probably longer. It was at least around when Dive Manual came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2020. So yeah, time flies. But Jess does, you know, she covers all sorts of different things, you know. You can find very familiar, esoteric, spiritual content. You can also find she gets into what I like to call, just for lack of a better term, like X-Files territory, you know, plenty of cryptids and, you know, hidden technology, conspiracy theories. She's not afraid to get into anything. And she's got a great investigative mind about her. So I encourage you to go check out what she's got going on, and we're definitely going to get into some of that more here today. Jess, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I am so excited to be here, and thank you for the wonderful intro.
Yeah, not a problem. You really do. You hustle, and you have a lot of thoughtful content out there. And, you know, on this show, I get into conspiracy theories sometimes and stuff, like I covered at the beginning of the year, the story of the underground pyramid that might be in Alaska. And that was mm-hmm. a fun story. But, you know, generally it's very like mental health, philosophy, comparative religion. So I appreciate the fact that you are able to get into all these different things, because like, man, with conspiracy theories today, it's just more of a whirlwind than it ever was. And I know that's definitely not your only subject, but I kind of wanted to bring that up because it's been a minute since we've talked about that on the show. Like, how do you navigate the world of conspiracy theories today? And the I don't know, just like, where do you stand with it all? Because it's tough. It's like, yeah, you want to stay informed, but then it also just feels like you're on a constant treadmill as well, trying to keep up with it.
It's, I think, post like the kind of whole QAnon thing, right? It all kind of went wild, right?
Yeah,
and yeah. The, you know, like you're like the grandma, like way in some Midwest country saw it on, or state saw it on Facebook, and now all of a sudden everybody's a conspiracy theorist, right? I remember, you know, back in the olden days, you'd used to go to, you know, forums and you'd read these stuff, these things about conspiracies, and you really had to search them out back then. They weren't all over and in your face like they are today with social media. So with conspiracies continuously, you know, coming out now, and some of them are super ridiculous, right? And some of them aren't. I think there's also has to be that distinction between what is kind of actually a conspiracy versus the word conspiracy theory.
Right.
Because conspiracy theory is, this is a theory of something, but there are, you know, real conspiracies. These things that are happening, you know, with different groups of folks. I'm not talking about like maybe a giant cabal or anything that like a lot of people think there might be, but there is good and bad in the world, right? So no matter what, somebody's out there to do better for themselves. And that's where a lot of these conspiracies come from, right? So when looking at conspiracies, you know, that might pop up on your feed, you have to think too, first, like the media, when you're reading a news story, is this conspiracy theory that you're reading, is this eliciting a emotional reaction from you? So if it is, well, why is it doing that? Is it just trying to get your attention? And what happens is people tend to become very misinformed and they start, you know, repeating these conspiracy theories. And then what happened? Now I'm on a rant. And
go for it. I love it.
But then what happens is, you know, they get stuck in these echo chambers on social media and then they just keep perpetuating these stories is what I've noticed, you know, and they're not in connection with reality anymore, right?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people, they're willing to, or maybe they're not even willing. Somehow they get to the point where they realize that most of what they have been told is bullshit to one degree or another. And in that frantic cognitive dissonance, they too many people just seem to kind of grab the first, like just the lowest hanging fruit right next to them, you know,
yeah,
whatever it be. And that's unfortunate. I get the, I totally understand that frantic state of mind. It's been a while. I felt grounded in, you know, just what I can, where I fit into things. But I remember being younger and just, you know, like the epiphanies of just like, oh yeah, we are just proverbial cattle in
yeah,
the field, you know, like it really is how we are seen to the upper echelons. And that's definitely a jarring idea. So I get why people are jarred, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about like the idea that, I mean, I, for, you know, information for everybody. I don't, you know, I'm not one to censor, but it's an interesting philosophical idea. Like how many people really should be in like diving deep on conspiracy theories, like to a certain extent, you know, should all the soccer moms and like out there and, you know, the freaking deadbeats, like the, you know, the burnout dudes at the bar, like should they all have like a specific opinion about conspiracy theories?
I mean, should they or do they, you know, it seems like, too, it does attract a certain personality, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if we could say, could we keep it away from certain folks? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, you really couldn't. Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's always attracted some of the most interesting, logical people and some of the wildest people around. Yeah, you're never going to be able.
It's true.
Yeah, it's always having to separate the wheat from the chaff on that one. So what do you think? This is a very open-minded show. We keep it, you know, I think the idea is keep it skeptical on the face.
Yes.
But we are like very open to anything, the listeners and I. And I just kind of generally have an idea like that there's definitely evil out there. We've defined that. It's a nuanced thing, but like, you know, evil, quote the capital E, you know, there's some whack shit out there. But going so far as to like put some of this copy paste stuff that you find like Illuminati and things like that. We could talk about secret societies and things, but Illuminati, for instance, really has become one of those just kind of copy paste things. Like now there's like conspiracy lore that like just everyone knows without even having gone down the rabbit holes. And that blows my mind. I remember like the last few years of that, the olden days that you talk about, writing for The Last American Vagabond, being young, 18, just kind of, you know, cutting my teeth, writing, understanding conspiracies and esoterica more. And that really was when you were like digging deep on the forums and it was not, you weren't inundated on Facebook with conspiracies and stuff like that. And then, yeah, once Trump came into office, I watched it change. So did you. It was wild. But yeah, it was, I don't know. So what's your view on esoteric geopolitics these days? Like what is the deal? How did we get here? Like, how do you, for someone that's listening right now that understands that conspiracy theories are a thing, but they don't know where to start these days, especially just being bombarded constantly. Like, what is the situation for you?
Shoot, man, how to like get into it and start reading? I mean,
yeah,
shit. Yeah. That's a hard one. That's a question nobody's ever asked me because, you know, I started way back when like 9/11 happened. Right. And watching things with that. And I think that's how a lot of like a generation got into these things. Right. But now a fresh person coming into this, you type in conspiracy and all kinds of things come up. And I mean, the question does come up too, is it by design that it's kind of gotten so mainstream to cause so much disinformation within the public?
Yeah, it definitely seems to at least be some of that.
But are there groups that are in control? Yeah, for sure there are. You know, I don't know who they are. And probably the truth of the matter is, those who are actually in control, we don't know who they are. They have no public face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think if I completely agree with you, because if we're talking like brass tacks conspiracy theory, the, you know, people always talk about the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the creation of the petrodollar in this industrial and post-industrial society. Like, there's a lot of merit there. You know, you don't have to be anti-Semitic at all to look at the petrodollar and some of the, you know, the major families behind that today. So, I mean, there's a lot of that makes sense to me. And yeah, that said, like, that is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, I don't know. I guess, you know, to me, it's just, I don't expect, when I look into conspiracy theories, I don't expect to understand completely what's happening. And I think, you know, like, I'm hesitant to give advice because what the hell do I know? But I think that's like the best approach, because if you go in with that mentality of needing the answers, then you're kind of, you're dead on arrival metaphorically.
Yeah. And I think with a lot of these topics, if you're looking for the exact answer, you're not going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about your story a little bit. You mentioned kind of being really, you know, like the beginning of an awakening process, trying to understand this more during 9/11. What was that like? Was there other stuff leading up to that, or was that a big moment for you where it was like, this is, I don't know, this is like a wild thing that I have to find a way to wrap my head around?
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things where I just started to like search around the internet, and I kind of started looking into 9/11, and I couldn't tell you like what happened or why it happened, but I came across that documentary, I don't know if you've seen it, called Loose Change, that kind of brings up a lot of questions, right? And then so from there, I started diving into the forums, right? And you know, you always kind of have this thought that, you know, the public doesn't know everything, and we don't, because the governments don't tell us everything they're doing because they don't really have to, you know. And I think for the regular person, who I kind of felt like I was a regular person before I kind of opened up my mind to the possibilities that, whoa, what we're seeing is different than what's really going on behind the scenes. And I think with that, it caused me to have more curiosity about like what the governments have done, you know. So I've I like to dive into like government type conspiracies. Once your mind's kind of open from that, then like, where do I go from there? Right. So I just kept researching and reading, and, you know, and then I started getting into like listening to different hosts and kind of, going from there, listening to different hosts, excuse me. And then from there, I think at one point I just figured it was something I really wanted to talk about, right? And like you said too, I do cover all types of topics, but it kind of started with conspiracies, really. And yeah, then from
that's where it started with me too, most definitely.
And yeah, right. I think that's like the entry point for a lot of people. And I remember always clicking on like UFO threads too. So the governmental conspiracy side of the UFO thing kind of got me into UFOs as well.
Yeah. So what do you think about, since that was kind of a proverbial man, I was, you've probably heard it before, but like a tarot card metaphor, like the tower moment. I was almost going to say it was a tower moment for you. I feel like that was a little bit, there's not a pun intended, but I feel like that'd be in a little bit of bad taste. But that said, it was definitely an eye-opening moment for you. So, and that was one of my first big enchiladas as well, like, in terms of trying to tackle it, just for me personally, trying to have an opinion on it. What do you think happened there? Because this is how I feel about it. We know... Talk about like brass tacks of conspiracy theory. We know that our government funded the what became Al Qaeda, essentially, and like that's something that's undeniable at this point. And whether or not, you know, we could argue all sorts of different behind the scenes things, but and I'm not so certain. I really don't know, but I'm not so certain that how should I word it? I don't think that people necessarily in our government enacted it, but I definitely think at least that they heard about it and they said, well, you know, what kind of like recourse do we really have? I'm not sure what we could do at this point. We might as well capitalize on it. You know, at the very least, they said, fuck it. Let's capitalize on it. We'll get this Patriot Act in there. We'll be able to change a lot of shit in our favor. And it's just cattle in the field. You know, people talk about like 9/11 is like some sort of black magic ceremony. I don't know how literal that is. I would hesitate to take that literally. But I definitely think, like, archetypally speaking, that definitely seems to have been the case. What are your thoughts on all that?
No, I agree with you. I agree that they at least had some inkling about what's going on. You know, we're supposed to have this really fantastic, you know, intelligence. So they had to have some sort of intelligence. And I do agree with you that they allowed it to happen. I mean, this is speculative, right? That they allowed it to happen. And then from that, you know, enacted things like the Patriot Act, which has now, you know, it's just gotten, the amount of surveillance is horrible now since then.
Yeah, you can't deny the A to B causal effect. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, it's never been so dystopian right before our eyes, really. And like, what the hell with AI and what Elon Musk is doing with Neuralink? Like, pretty soon we're gonna have the Black Mirrors in our brains and. I don't know what the hell is going on anymore.
It just makes me laugh now because we, like, it seems like to me, I always pick like 2020 as kind of this period in which all this shift happened, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now not all of a sudden, but it was like slowly moving to this dystopian thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, the AI hits, boom, the Neuralink hits. The smart car, we got smart cars that are driving, you know, we got smart wash machines, like we're in, and then now they got the AR glasses and the, you know, we are living in a weird technological, like, dystopian time, and it's only going to get weirder.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really strange thought not long ago. And I hope it's not so divisive, my idea of the future, but I feel like I'm kind of onto something, you know, not like I'm seeing the future or by any stretch, but I just, you know, my sense of humor, I was like, man, people are going to, before long, you know, after human trials, they're going to start, is, you know, slowly being trendy, putting these freaking neural links in our brains. And I'm going to be the old dude, you know, God willing, at like 80 years old or something. Like, back in my day, we kept the computers in our hands and didn't put them in our skulls. I don't know what kids are doing.
These kids.
Yeah, and people are going to be like, Grandpa, you're so, you know, they're just people too. Like, you can't be weirded out about the people with the microchips in their brains. And you know, that'll probably be the case. I'm sure they'll be regular, just like everybody else, but that's gonna creep me out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle knowing that. I mean, I don't know. It's already like, we're already halfway there. Everyone's got a phone now, so you can record everyone, and everyone's got a Ring doorbell, so you're being recorded. But it's gonna be an extra level of weird when you're having a conversation with someone and you don't know whether or not they're like recording you with their eyeballs.
Yeah, it's, and they'll sell it like, you know, that one Black Mirror episode where he does have, yeah. And then, oh man, the thing is, it's like, you know, it's the people who grew up without those things, right? And the younger generations, they're going to be able to implement it easier because they want it, you know, it's normal to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird world. I don't think I would be so quick to give my child some of this technology. I definitely ease them into it, but I don't know. It's a bad situation. I feel like a lot of these kids that aren't going outside anymore, it's half of the reason is because no one's showing them what the hell to do out there. You know, it's, I don't know. Yeah. It's definitely a society that's lost its luster a little bit, it looks like. But what do you do about all that? Like, in terms of existentialism, you know, spirituality, and also kind of bridging the gap in the conversation, you know, conspiracy theories fill you with this existential dread.
Of course.
Yeah. So how did you bridge that gap, and how do you feel about, you know, spirituality today? And yeah, like, what are your thoughts on like the afterlife and things like that?
Well, I've had a lot of thoughts on the afterlife. I guess we could start there, because, you know, I lost my mom about a year and a half ago. And, you know, I'd always kind of, you know, I didn't give a lot of thought about it really, because I was raised Buddhist. So it was like, you were going to reincarnate and you would never see me again. Basically, you know, never see your family again. You'd go off into your new life, etc. So that's what I was raised with, right? And I didn't like that thought. I didn't like that. I didn't like that I couldn't see my family again, or, you know, there's not a place where you go and everybody's there.
Howdy do, everybody. It's your good old friend Tippy Patson here. I'm reporting to you from the dang old New York City, the Windy Apple. You know, I shipped myself here in a crate, just like I did going to Finland. And, you know, I'm here meeting up with NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers. You know, I didn't know, I got in contact with him, but I didn't quite know, you know, where he was. So when I got here, just kind of hung out with some alley cats for a while, but then Aaron Rodgers contacted me, and you know, and I've been staying with him in his big old mansion. You know, I got him smoking cigarettes for his cardio. I got some aluminum in his diet, and you know, dang old, just been really focusing on that mind-body connection. You know, because he done been injured, and you know, he done scared of the Hat Man from his ayahuasca trip still. So, been focusing on a lot of music therapy, actually. He's a great dang old guitarist, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers right here. He can't really talk right now. He's kind of busy. He's got a mouth full of noodles. But, you know, he's waving to y'all. And we're going to have more updates about my time here in the Windy Apple. But, you know, that music therapy, maybe some of y'all remember my good old friend Randy Stamp. So, we got him singing. He met up with us here at the Windy Apple, and Aaron Rodgers playing guitar. I'm on bass. We got a drum kit, and Jeff Mamba over in the Everglades, our buddy, he is, you know, doing background vocals over Zoom. And, you know, our band name, we don't really have a band name yet, but I got a song for you here, and I'm very excited. So y'all get ready. This is called Tippy Patson's Fight Song. And stick around for more. This is just a teaser. We're going to have a lot more for you. We're going to complete this song before too long. I tell you what, it's going to be a hoop.
Yeah, I just want to the floor to every place. There's a wild ring and they call Tippy Patson. He don't take no orders. He's a rebel through and through. Wrestling Illuminati Gators is what it do. Tippy Patson, king of the swamp, with a rebel yelling a whiskey on top. He's fighting alligator, defying the odds. Tippy Patson, the man with the biggest and only.
Hello, everybody. Hello, is Jeff Mamba. And last time we talked, we were trying to discuss whether I should be, we were talking about my name, and I asked everybody to vote on my name. Should I be Jeff Mamba, Mind Master, or Mind Jockey, or Mind Surfer? And I'm gonna go with Mind Jockey because that sounds the best, and I think it makes the most sense, you know, because it's like a horse jockey except for your mind, and Mamba is my last name. And, you know, to blow your mind a little bit, to put the horse in the stable of your mind. So do you guys, like, know how, like, Hiram Abiff was the original Freemason? And he built Solomon's Temple, and he was supposed to be, he's, like, the original bricklayer. Well, I'm here to tell you that I've recently uncovered there are, like, Herculean deified characters. We'll call them deities in every one of these trades. I don't know all their names, and I'm still uncovering this massive conspiracy, but I have evidence of the Eternal Plumber, you know, the guy who, like, deals with pipes. And there is also the Infernal Electrician, because he's, like, zip-zappy and things. I've also heard talk of the Lollipop Guild, and there's, like, Suicidal Dentistry or something like that. But there's a whole coalition. Maybe this is actually part of the Illuminati. It's not, like, families. It's all the original, like, brick. It's the original bricklayer and plumber and dentist and like pottery maker and, like, beer can maker. These people, you know, all the original tradesmen are ruling us. Yeah. Okay, so Jeff Mamba, Mind Jockey, over and out.
Arg, matey. It's me, Muscle Tornado. I don't know, guys. I've just kind of lost the will to live, I think. I'm not suicidal. You know, I'm not trying to end it, but I've been trying to do the whole pirate thing, and, you know, it feels like something I need to do, but I feel like a fraud. You know, all of you know that I've lost my eye and my hand and my leg. I've lost my hair. My DMT guy is just gone. Also, he's been out for a long time, and I'm getting tired of snorting pixie sticks, guys. So I've got the pirate hat, but it's not really making me feel a whole lot better. And why God, the God, just strike me down right now, please. Please. I'm back. It is I, Apex Monsoon, and I am a cosmic ghost pirate, in case you forgot. New listeners listening to this are probably super fucking confused, but, you know, if you've been listening to the Black Hoodie Alchemy show since the beginning, this is a really cool payoff. You know, it's a shame that you are not in on it, because I'm basically the coolest character at this point. And, you know, I complete it's full circle, everybody. Who's giving you bigger payoff than that? Arrgh! God damn it! I disappeared, and then a Muscle Tornado became me, and I am him. It's all one and the same. You just gotta learn to trust yourself, matey. There's a little cosmic ghost pirate inside all of you, and he is waiting to be a captain. And that is not a Captain Morgan reference. That is a personal reference to God damn it. And, you know, I've got some cosmic ghost pirate stuff to do, but I will be back. Arg, matey, I'm a fucking ghost pirate, and I surf the cosmos. But I'll see you later. And, you know, don't forget that I'm really fucking cool. All right, goodbye.
When my mom passed, right, you know, because for a while, you know, you go through this thing, well, maybe there's Jack out there, maybe there's nothing, maybe it's just lights out, you know, But, you know, after losing my mom and suffering, you know, that horrible grief, and and actually being able to have and experience dream visitations with her, right? And it's not like a regular dream, right? When you have a dream visitation from a relative, it will feel realer than real. You know, you kind of feel their energy, you know, when they're near you. Sometimes they talk, sometimes they don't. But you know, like something in you knows that it's them, right? Which leads me to believe that they're out there somewhere in the ether, right? And we are able to, you know, connect with our loved ones in the dream state.
Yeah, I feel you. I've had some interesting experiences with dreams, what one might call unexplainable. But I have not come across like a dead relative or anything like that. But from talking with people about dreams and the unexplainable in general, that seems to be one of the most recurring themes, and I buy it absolutely. It makes the most sense to me. Like dreams are, I think people are starting to understand this a little more, but to me, dreams are the threshold of like modern mysticism. You know, it's not so much that, you know, there are things that can physicalize, you know, poltergeists and things like that. We've talked about that on the show before, but, you know, if people talk about like things that blow their minds, the imagination is way more wild than a lot of people give it credit for, and is something that we oftentimes don't have control of. You know, like Jung talked about active imagination. That's a heavily used term in psychoanalysis, and imagination just being that sort of space. You know, like someone might call it like an Akashic record type situation. Yeah. What do you? So, do you think that it's? I don't know. Like spaces. How do you view it then? Is it just, are we all, our souls, just chilling in one spot or what? Like, cause so if you don't believe in reincarnation, cause I'm really open to things. I kind of feel like reincarnation, that's like my best guess, but
yeah,
but I also really, really don't know. It just seems like with chaos theory and everything else, there's enough evidence to really suggest that something is going on.
Something is, you know, and it's hard to say, you know, I don't know, like for me, you know, I know a lot of people are fascinated, right, and want to know what happens, right, or where you go. Maybe there's, you know, I'm just saying, maybe there's another, you know, world, maybe it's just slightly above ours, you know, maybe it's just stacked and, you know, and they're just existing in that other world. But also too, like, I know a lot of people are into like NDE things and or near death experience because they do want to know. But like for me, how I view it, especially after losing mom, is I want it to be a surprise. So I try not to put a lot of thought into it. It's like the last great adventure we're going to have, right?
Yeah, that's great. I really appreciate your sentiment there. It makes me think, I'm sure I've brought this up once or twice somewhere. But like the story of Oedipus, people think about like, oh, he banged his mom eventually.
Yeah.
But like the bigger takeaway is all this idea of learning prophecy without context and, you know, trying to be ahead of the game. And, you know, it's been a while since I've read the myth anyway, but 100%, like every step of the way, people are trying to basically get ahead of different prophecy, and all it's doing is putting them in the worst position to fulfill all sorts of terrible scenarios. And that seems to me like, I don't want to spoil the surprise either. I like having a best guess. I like dibble dabbling a little bit, but that's why I don't like, you know, I understand that there's a certain relevance to things like astrology, especially if you consider it, it's just as like the philosophy of astronomy. Even if you just want to keep it there, there's some relevance, but I don't really get it. You know, it seems like a dangerous game to start getting into horoscopes all the time. And
yes,
you know,
yes, 100%. Cause like, I know people, you know, and some people get so into it, right? And they depend on it so much and it becomes such a crutch. I mean, it to each his own, but two, they have problems. And I've seen this with people I've known before in the past, they have problems making decisions because they need to look at their chart. They need to pull a card. They need to, you know, do this. They need to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love Taoism so much. It just boils it all down, and Buddhism for that matter. So where, you know, not that we need a label or anything like that, but just for the sake of conversation, where do you consider yourself these days? Are you like an open-minded Buddhist, or
I guess I would be an open-minded Buddhist. I haven't practiced, you know, obviously since my mom died, you know what I mean? I just so because it felt very, it was very much from her, and that was something, you know, we did together. And so I guess like Buddhist at the core of things, but I try to be open. I try to, you know, I haven't been super heavy into other religions, so I guess I'm just open to hearing about other religions and their belief system. So I guess lean open-minded Buddhist.
That's cool. Yeah. We're very familiar with the Buddhist perspective on this show. What do you think about, do you have an opinion of some of the, like, what was his name? Like Dr. Ian Stevenson and all those reincarnation studies that he did before he died in like the 90s or something like that. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Could you give me a brief history?
Sure. Yeah. I'm not an expert, but I could definitely tell you and the listeners a little bit about it, because it is pretty, it's some of the, if you're looking for a practical investigative, and even scientific analysis of reincarnation, Dr. Ian Stevenson was this guy who he was an actual full on doctor. I can't remember if it was psychological or physical, but he had a practice and everything with patients, and he started getting really fascinated with the cases where, and a lot of them ended up bringing him to different Alaskan villages, but it wasn't just there. It's kind of an interesting, like, I don't know why it was so many Alaskan villages, because he wasn't from Alaska, but a lot of unique cases up there. You know, the stories of like a relative in the family dies, and then a child starts having what like basically amounts to like memories of that relative, like memories that belonged to the relative, and in no way that this information could have been carried. And like, at minimum, it's really weird, especially when someone starts investigating all these cases. Like, if it's not reincarnation, which it doesn't have to be, it's some weird psychic epigenetic thing going on, because there's very striking. And and so all you can really do as a person of science is just kind of document the cases and follow up on the interesting little tidbits as much as you can. And, but he has some really, really interesting cases. And I believe he has at least a book out. And when he died, he gave his family, his estate, like a lockbox with a special code. And he didn't tell anyone what the code was. And he said, if there's any way to communicate with you, I'll give you the code. And it hasn't been opened yet.
But okay.
I really like that idea. Yeah.
I'm like, gosh, did it happen?
Yeah. No, I wish. Maybe one day. And there's also, since on the subject of like empirical food for thought on reincarnation, I did one of the early episodes of this show, Alchemy as Adaptation, and it's It's been a, like, it was a study that I talked about in Dive Manual a little bit. It's a thick, very interesting study that came out in like 2000. And it's just like a couple neuroscientists, I'll link it in the show description, that break down and say, okay, you know, we're not trying to make any claims that we can't hear, but let's say if reincarnation is a thing, how would it play out using Occam's razor in the real world? And they get into adaptation and like anthropology and physics and brain sciences, and they talk about like natural selection and the reincarnation process theoretically. It's really fascinating.
That is very fascinating. I hadn't heard about that study.
Yeah, I'll send it your way. You would definitely like it. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is in the long run. But I do think that something happens.
Something happens. What? I don't know, but something happens.
Yeah. This can't just be it. There's so many more trails of breadcrumbs moving outward.
Yeah. No, I don't think this is it. I think this is just a part of the journey, right?
So what do you think about evil and just like the dark in general, like demonology and, you know, the paranormal, cryptozoology? There's a whole swath of goblins and ghouls that we haven't even touched on in this conversation.
Oh, there's a heck of a lot. Let me adjust my glasses here as we can't see me, but jinkies, right? You know, because when you start diving into like all these kinds of things, and then it, you know, it like spider webs out, then all of a sudden you're looking into ghosts, and all of a sudden you're looking into cryptids, and there's demons, and you're like, whoa, this world is way more interesting than I thought, right? But like evil, right? I think there is darkness and evil out there. You know what I mean? They're in people and energies around the world. You know, I've talked to a lot of paranormal investigators that have had experiences with things that they can only really refer to as evil and dark energy. You know, I've had this great demonologist on several times, Nathaniel Gillis, and he comes on and he basically talks about you know, like the succubus and incubus experiences people have had at night, like for hundreds of years, right? These beings that come in at night and will you know, take their people's sexual energy, right?
Like that that is the initial lore, not like only, but that like feeds into it. That's some of the initial lore of that goes along with sleep paralysis as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I actually, yeah. Salute to, was it Nathan or Nathaniel?
Nathaniel.
Yeah. Cause I've listened to at least a couple of your conversations with him, and they were very interesting. Yeah. He's a very interesting person, and he's got like he's got boots on the ground. He's really doing his work
talking to these people and stuff. No, and he's really great. And you know, the interesting thing that he's kind of tied into that is the fact that a lot of these alien abductions, right, are taking place at night, and they're, you know, doing sexual things to them. So his whole theory, you know, is that this is what it appears to us as now. It's not that it's changed. It's just changed its appearance. And his whole thing is like, when you're dealing with these things, they're not even, I think his tagline is like, they're not playing by our rules. They have a whole different set of rules.
Yeah.
There's something, and there's not a lot, a heck of a lot we can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's horrible, right? But what can you do?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's definitely like that Jacques Vallée sort of mindset, like this kaleidoscopic approach to seeing these things. And so left turn, but not really, because like it's all just like a tangled slinky of topics. I agree about the connection between like basically, it seems to me that, gun to my head, I would say that UFOs are way less physical than the standard narrative. And, you know, when people push back and say, well, like, they're not physical at all. And I say, and I don't know that. And I don't even think I would go so far as to say that, because I've seen enough cases of poltergeists, not personally, but there's a lot on record, you know, even police records and things like that. Like, you can find it out there. And not to mention exorcisms, even in the modern day, there's a lot of crazy kooks out there, but there's a lot of jarring stuff that still happens in the modern day.
100%.
Yeah. And thinking about exorcism and thing. The thought almost slipped me. So, I think at the very least, the UFO can be physical in the same ways. But I feel like, you know, gun to my head, I would have to say that it doesn't start physical. And I also am not convinced that anybody in any government agency has any technology, like, from crashed sites. But I really don't know. And I'm definitely don't think, if that is the case, I don't think that doesn't mean that there couldn't be or isn't some sort of covert communication. I don't think, you know, there might be intelligences or something. I just don't know if I, you know, I think another good example, cherry on top of this, is it's curious. I don't discount the phenomena, but it's curious how the sightings seem to mimic science fiction throughout American history so much. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that 100%, which makes you kind of believe, if it's kind of this like trickstery phenomenon, that it's just, you know, following kind of what where we kind of are, right? Because the whole, if you go back, right? It was flying saucers, right? They're metal discs in the sky, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, before that, Kenneth Arnold, who was the first, you know, reported sighting of a UFO modernly, right, saw flying wings, but only in the paper had it been reported that they flew like saucers, and they kind of picked it up and it went on to it's flying saucers, right? So now all these people are seeing flying saucers.
Right.
And then fast forward a little bit, well, people used to see humanoids all the time, right? Or human-looking beings that were like, oh, we're from Venus or something.
Right, totally.
And then as it moved on, oh, we're from, you know, another star system. Oh, you know, we're from another galaxy, etc., right? And then Betty and Barney Hill come around, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're gray aliens and they're doing horrible things to you. Before, they were just like humanoids that were like, hey, we're your space brothers or something. But
yeah, like,
it changed.
I know you remember, I don't know, probably neither of us were alive, but like, it's probably like the 40s to the 60s or so, where it was just super common in the market and in the UFO circles for people to just, you know, be welcomed onto UFOs, go visit planets and come back. Like, those stories are not around anymore, but that was super common. What the hell was going on there?
All of a sudden it turned into the aliens are abducting. It was they're taking us on trips. We're seeing space. It's nice. And then all of a sudden it turned in, they're abducting me in the middle of the night and they're doing anal probes on me.
Yeah.
Like, how did the shift happen somewhere, right? Where it's like, it turns into a sci-fi horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
And the reasoning why, I don't know why. And I've often sat and pondered this, right? Because you go back, you look at the old stories, you look at the current stories, and it really makes you wonder. And I've dove down all different rabbit holes trying to figure it out. And you still come out going like, well, maybe it's this, but I have no idea. Like, why did that happen?
Yeah. What are some of the most compelling, like, classic UFO stories to you? Like what are your thoughts on Betty and Barney Hill?
I don't know, because, like, you know, you start researching and you start wondering, right? And you can start
Yeah, it's like it, Betty and Barney Hill. It's like a holy grail, like the JFK assassination.
And like, if I start, I'm like, don't cancel me, guys. Don't cancel me. But so I'm like, you know, I was like, let's look into Betty and Barney Hill. Well, they were both into sci-fi books.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back, and I had this in my notes like a long time ago, or I had it in my memory, but or kind of a mention. So I looked for books that kind of like from that time period that mentioned E.T., right? Okay. And, you know, and so, I mean, it's quite plausible, right? Did it happen to them? Maybe. But were they also UFO nuts prior to this? Did they want to sell the story?
Definitely seems like it.
And I hate to say that, and please, people don't hate on me for it. But, you know, it's like a lot of these things, when you're in the midst of first starting to research this stuff, it's like that whole Mulder thing, right? We talk about X-Files. It's like, I want to believe. And then you start to turn a little Scully on it, right? And you go, well, I don't know about that anymore, right? Because as you look at the breadth of it, right, the whole thing, and you start to wonder, right, well, was this person money-minded, right? I hate to use this example, and people are going to hate me for it too, but if you think like the Travis Walton story, right, a lot of people are like, that's it. That's the story, right?
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of people say, I don't want people to get mad. Don't get mad, people. I'm just putting out another point of view on it. But
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. But they say he's continuously told the same story. Well, okay. So he has the same story, but two, there's been, you know, incidents with some of the people that were witnesses with him, right, that have said things that are kind of would kind of cast a little bit of doubt upon his story, right?
That Travis Walton, for Googleable facts for people out there, inspiration for the movie Fire in the Sky. And that is another kind of holy grail modern day UFO case. Yeah. And they both so heavily are, what's the word? I don't know. There's a couple different words, but the basis of them both is hypnosis. Like after an initially jarring experience, it all unfurls through hypnotherapy. And hypnotherapy is a real thing. Especially in terms of like pain management and different things. You could even go into active imagination. You know, Jung himself did it. But in terms of surfacing like buried memories, that's not really, science has basically completely ruled that out. There might be like, you know, the brain is a mysterious thing. So it's not that you know, The human mind can bury and remember things, but hypnosis is not the thing. It's who knows how you jog your memory on that one. Hypnosis is better for, like, you talk with practicing hypnotherapists. They'll tell you, like, I can, you know, I'll bring a person back after we calm them and get them in that clinical trance hypnotic state. You know, their heartbeat slowed and these things, we bring them back to a traumatic memory and, you know, we walk them through it with them. And it's kind of like rewriting in ways your emotional responses to those things. Those are practical aspects of hypnotherapy, but you can't just go in like how so many UFO and satanic panic cases, it's weird how you can find parallels between the two. They both start and it's not an investigation. It's like, okay, we're starting the investigation with, you know, where did, you know, when did you see the UFO? Not what did you see? You know, describe the UFO to me. Describe the people in the black cloaks. Not what did you see to start with? And it's all just fucked from there, really. And you see that in the Betty Hill, the Hills and the Travis Walton case, like regardless of where you want to go with it. And, you know, for just, you know, for the sake of conversation, I can totally see how, in terms of just unexplainable phenomena at large, whatever the hell happened to either of in either of those cases, certainly something weird could have happened. But then it takes on this colloquial sort of mask, and And then also, you know, I think the Amityville Horror is another great case where, like, something very well could have happened there. But there's no doubt, you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren come in, you know, they start talking book sales and things. Like, there's no doubt that as soon as people start talking about the value of this story, everyone's on board. They're like, hell yeah, let's fucking drum it up. Let's do what we got to do. Why not?
No, it's true. It's very much like, you know, when people get into paranormal stuff, they go back and look at the Warren stuff, right? And they're like, because they know the Amityville Horror. But no, they did, you know, sell a lot of books.
Yeah.
You know, they went on the circuit, you know, and it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, like, I mean, it's like you're saying, like, it's not to take away from something probably did happen. But the fact that it was kind of twisted and created into this, like, super interesting narrative that it sells.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And you could, people, I think there's more of a case to be made for someone like the authenticity. And I really don't know. I don't have a stake in the claim. But just generally speaking, I think there's more to be said about the potential authenticity of someone like Travis Walton than there is Ed and Lorraine Warren, mm-hmm. in terms of like actively making up their own narratives. Right. I know people will push back on that, but a lot less people will push back on that. You know, Ed and Lorraine Warren were doing some interesting stuff, and, you know, some people would say they were just charlatans. I don't know if I would go that far. I'm really not an expert to, but I think that they were at least doing some interesting, like, Fortean demonology type stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's no goddamn question that they, what's the best way to put it? Their intentions were both, like, equally strong, whatever demonology, like, opposed to their book sales. You know, that was a terrible way to word that, but everybody gets what I'm talking
you
about.
You got it,
like,
out.
Yeah, yeah. They had that in mind from the beginning. Whenever they were going into these situations, they were like, oh, this one sounds like it would really freaking make a good paperback. Let's jump on that. So yeah, it's, oops. Punched my mic there on accident.
Oh.
but anyway, so yeah, it's tough to navigate all this stuff. But I love it. I find it super interesting. So what do you think about do you have an opinion on what the hell is his name?
I don't know.
I just had it in mind. I might have to move on.
Okay.
Bob Lazar. What do you think about Bob Lazar?
I don't know what to think about Bob Lazar. You know,
me neither.
I have some friends that are adamant, like, we believe in Bob Lazar, you know, as if, like, he was an entity they should believe in, right? Like, we believe in Bob Lazar. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe his story. I don't know if I do. He is, like, some sort of, like, rocket scientist, like, rocket motorcycle, rocket car builder dude, you know. Did he work at S4? Maybe. I don't really know. You know, I've talked to people that have, you know, worked with him and said, yeah, he worked at S4, you know. The craft he saw, I mean, I just did an interview with a guest yesterday named Gio Turner, who wrote a book about UFO physics, and he has this whole chapter about the sports model, the Bob Lazar backward engineered saucer shaped craft, and, like, kind of breaks down all the things inside of it. And so I guess maybe did he? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I feel you on that one. That's a really heated topic that just stays around in ufology today, and I don't really have an opinion on it, but since it stayed around, and I understand the story, it's been a while since I've looked into it, but I don't know, it really could just go either way. I know people are really divided on it, though. So,
I guess I don't know, like, I'm not passionate either way on it. Like, I mean, years ago, I'd probably say, like, I'm same thing. I'm not sure, you know, I'm just not sure. And that rings true for a lot of these things. You can't really say you're sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you are saying you're sure, then I don't know. Like, you're either, you know, full of shit or haven't gone deep enough yet.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. So all right, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, and I think we did touch on it a bit, but I think this is something that we could definitely sink our teeth into a little more. We've talked about all sorts of different stuff, all under this umbrella of sort of, I don't know, understanding that the regular world that we've been sold is bullshit and there's a lot more to it. And it is really interesting that conspiracy theories seem to be the tip of the iceberg for a lot of people, for most people. Like, you start looking into that, and once you're sold on one of those, then you can at least see how theoretically a lot of other stuff it can be around. So, and we also haven't talked about this much on the show, but old school conspiracy theories are, and the world of old school conspiracy is, I don't know, it had like a golden age to it. Like, yeah. What do you think about some of the old school people? Like, there's some of them obviously still around, but William Cooper, mm-hmm. Alex Jones, David Icke, some of these like titans of conspiracy theory today. Like, what, I don't know, it seems like they have little bits of like, I really like where they're coming from, at least in certain parts of their career. And then I guess to stick with the example here, like Jones and Icke specifically, yeah. Like, I could at least like their mindsets, and then they always just, the longer they go on, the more they start to veer off, and you're just like, all right, you're really losing me here. I don't know anymore.
I mean, I'm sure you've watched like one of Icke's, like, I think they're like 8-hour lectures or something like that.
Yeah,
when he does, you're just
back
like,
back in
what?
The day, I really sat down for some of them too. Yeah, just to check it out.
Oh, I totally did too. I totally did too. And I'll tell you a funny story. I did an interview with him, right?
Right. And I was going to ask. I thought I remembered that.
Yeah,
it's been a while, though.
It's been a while, but I feel like I was, because he was one of those people I watched and listened to a lot, I feel like I got a little starstruck when I interviewed him, to the fact that I like kind of did a shitty interview.
We're our own worst critic.
So I was like, I don't know, just talk, David Icke. That's what you do, you know.
Oh man, I feel you. Yeah, I mean, that man, I don't even know what I would ask him, because he really just, he's a guy that could talk forever, so you hardly need to ask him questions. And but what do you think, like, about, do you think that these guys like Jones and Icke, they get into it with honest intentions, and then they just, like, I feel like if I were them, I would have lost my mind by now.
Imagine just like being in that mindset constantly, right? That everything is a conspiracy and everything is horrible, and the whole, you know, like, I mean, you've seen
and
Alex
the paranoia
Jones like
angle
scream
as
and
well.
Yeah, and the paranoia. And so, you know, while I do still enjoy listening to them from time to time, you know, and you know, I still buy David Icke books, you know, and I still read them.
Sure.
But too, to just like imagine to be like paranoid like that, like everything is horrible, everything is a conspiracy. I think it's a hard way to exist, like long term. That's why, like, me as a, you know, as a normal person doing a, like, just a show about these topics, right? I dive in and out. Like, I'll dive into some conspiracies and then I come back out and then I'm like, okay, guys, let's just talk about, you know, some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Get it light again, you know? And then I'm like, okay, let's go back into the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my policy too. You can't just keep it dark all the time, but I'm also super tired of all this new age half-baked bullshit out there where it's just like, if you're, if you know, if you're feeling negative vibes, then, you know, you just, I don't know, need to, you know, stop feeling them. It's just like, it's super.
That is its own thing. It's like, oh, you gotta be happy and positive all the time, so you attract positivity in your life. You know, don't do that. That's negative. And then all of a sudden, like, you have all these fake, like, weird, happy people that are not acknowledging that there is bad.
Yeah, they got those, like Scientology crazy eyes.
Yeah.
You know, where they're just, like, too much whites in the eye and the smile's a little too big.
A little too big. It's creepy.
Yeah, it really is. And you can see it in people. There's something going on. And it's not just one specific group. It's just like a creepy mentality that people unlock.
That's creepy.
And also, like, you know, I think we live I really truly want to live and let live. So I'm not one to shame people, but, like, just in general, just thinking about, like, negative feelings and negative thoughts and things like shame and, you know, like, there's a reason that we feel those things a lot of the time. You have to separate the wheat from the chaff and understand what social conditioning and, you know, what you really believe in. But, like, sometimes you just feel bad because you did some shit that you should feel bad about, you know, like, there's symptoms of a situation. And if you're just, you know, just constantly happy go lucky, like, white knuckling it, I don't know.
Like, I'm so goddamn happy right now. You know?
Yeah, I feel like that's how people end up, you know, doing some crazy shit like snapping and doing God knows what. So yeah, I don't know. You can't avoid that stuff. You got to dive in there.
Yeah, it's an unrealistic way to live.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? So we talked about Ike a little bit. What do you think, since we brought him up, about Alex Jones these days? Because I appreciated both of them in the beginning.
Much.
Even if
so
I didn't
much.
Agree with everything they said, I was like, man, these guys are out there doing it. And David Ike is just kind of, he just gets kookier and kookier and starts to lose me. But
I love it.
Yeah, but I like his spirit. Like, you know, we could talk about, like, I don't know, like, you know, the danger of misinformation or whatever, but, like, this guy, you know, just even he's got the best intentions. Just let him write, just let him do his thing. But then you have Alex Jones, which, you know, I also, especially in the beginning,
I loved him before. I thought I was like, this guy's great.
I know, right? Like, this super nostalgic, hearing Alex Jones on the radio back in the day, looking back on it now. But
I loved it.
After Sandy Hook, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Like,
God. Ooh. Yeah. And then he has the whole the personal court dealings with his family falling apart. And it's like, man, with a heyday, the fruit has rotted on the vine. This is no good anymore.
I know. That's basically kind of it. Like, I haven't listened to him. Like, I'll catch a clip here and there, but, you know, it was just great to watch Jones when he, like, would freak out and, like, start screaming. You know, that was
the classic. Best. Have you seen any of those YouTube cuts? There's a bunch of them on where it just has like a really heavy metal track, and it's just segments of Alex Jones, like, screaming and ranting on top of the metal.
Yes.
So great.
And I'll watch it, and then I just start laughing. I'm like, why am I laughing so much? Then I send it to a friend so we can both laugh, you know, because it's hilarious.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's just, there's something about it. Yeah. It's perfect. He was made to be a metal vocalist. He really should lay down a real track.
He should. Maybe he could change up his career and add that to his resume.
You know, speaking of Alex Jones and recent stuff he's done, the only thing that I checked back in on him with, and I talked about it here on the show whenever it happened, like a year and a half or something ago, freaking Kanye West put on that black mask and went on with whatever that freaking like wannabe, like everyone's already forgotten his name.
That, yeah, I don't remember who the guy. Yeah, who was that?
I don't know. He was like some Ben Shapiro wannabe, as if Ben Shapiro isn't bad enough.
Yeah, right.
But I remember I actually watched that interview, and I fast forwarded whenever that guy was talking, and I basically was here for. I knew it was going to be insane, but
it was great.
Yeah, it was, it blew my mind. I just could not believe what I was hearing. Kanye West is, maybe we should keep conspiracy theories away from him. Like
Kanye West. Yeah, man, that guy got into the conspiracies, man.
Poor guy. Yeah, man. He seems like someone that has good intentions that just like got lost in the black magic of like, you know, not even literally like archetypally of like Hollywood and the paparazzi. Like, I don't know, when you already have mental health issues and you're in that kind of light, and there's no way for it to not be an echo chamber when you're that.
When you're that like successful. Celebrity, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have the mental health yet to handle that, you're just, yeah, there. I don't know if there's any hope.
No. Sorry, Kanye.
Yeah, especially not, definitely not after that Alex Jones interview. Do you remember when there's a whole bunch of things, but one thing that always will be burned in my brain, I don't remember verbatim, but I remember the exact exchange where Alex Jones is like, right before a break, he's like, Kanye, it sounds like you really have like a thing for Hitler. And it sounds like you kind of like Hitler. And Kanye says, he doubles down. He's like, I don't like Hitler. I love Hitler.
Wait, what? Kanye?
You could practically see Alex Jones like pulling his collar, like, oh God.
Get this guy out of here, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I, you know, obviously I only laugh because of the audacity of the situation.
Yeah, no, it is so ridiculous that you cannot believe this is reality, right? Truly. Like, this dude is sitting here saying this on a show, and he made Alex Jones uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
He really did. That's how you know that you're flying off the handle. Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
Oh my God.
If anyone has not heard that and you're just looking for some really out there entertainment. And yeah, I mean, not to make light of it, the stuff, you know, you could talk about conspiracy theories being harmful. And I think so much of that is half baked because people should think for themselves. You can also see how some of these are taken to extremes that I don't know what the answer is, but they were extremes that they shouldn't have been taken to. And Kanye's beliefs, they're definitely extreme, and they're definitely not something that should just be laughed away. So
no.
That disclaimer aside, this is how I framed it when I talked about it. When I did, is with that same disclaimer, I just got the impression of like, this is like some weird alternate reality shit where like Alex Jones and Kanye West teamed up with Adult Swim and did some weird parody of conspiracy theories. Like, it just seems not real and hilarious.
I think that's like a great, that is the probably the best description of that interview I've ever heard.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So go check it out, listeners. It's wild. But yeah, so what I like to ask guests this in general, because it's good food for thought and, you know, no pressure. But what are some of your, you mentioned this as well with like, with the passing of your mother, you know, my condolences, and I appreciate you getting into that some. Yeah. What are your spiritual practices like in the day to day today? Do you have any like ritual or ceremony that you find comforting, things like that?
I still, you know, I try to do it every day, but every day I try to, you know, go to my little ancestry altar and, you know, sit and light incense and, you know, and pray to the ancestors, including my mom, you know. I try to meditate, you know, or at least take a few moments to clear my mind, even if it's not just sitting like quietly, you know. And, you know, I've been very mindful of also because, you know, like I talked about a lot of these conspiracies too, but then I also, what I do now to kind of offset that mental energy of diving into those things is I look around my world and I say, you know what, my little like personal world, I go, it's not that bad out there. It's not that bad. And then I try to, you know, say things like just express some gratitude for the life that I have.
Amen to that. Amen to that. That's what it really boils down to. You know, whatever you're praying to, whatever practices you have, if you're giving thanks and showing gratitude and not trying to make life miserable for others, then
yeah,
you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Now you've talked to quite a few different people. David Icke is a big name.
Yes.
And I definitely encourage people to go check that out. You talked with Tommy Chong in the past too, correct?
I have twice, and he was supposed to come on again with his wife as well.
You're supposed to. So is that still potentially happening soon?
If you want to hear the sad story, I'll tell you the sad story.
Sure.
So the second time I interviewed Tommy Chong, I was supposed to go over to my mom's house because she was decorating for my sister's engagement party, which was supposed to be the next day. Mm-hmm. And me and Tommy had gone back and forth, and Tommy's like, hey, I can't do Friday. Can we do it Monday? And then he messages me a little later. He's like, you know what? I got an opening on Friday. Do you want to do it? And I'm like, that's Tommy Chong. Yeah. You know, so
hell yeah.
So it was our second time, right? And so I do the interview and I text my mom and I say, you know, I can't come help decorate. You know, I said, I'm talking to Tommy Chong, and she always loved, and she liked Tommy, right? When she loved the interview with Tommy, she's like, he's like a nice man. And I said, yeah. So she's like, go ahead. You know, we'll see you tomorrow at the party. Mm-hmm. She had a heart attack that night. Oh. And then went into ICU and passed a few days later. So.
Damn. Wow. Tommy Chong is so bittersweet. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's this horrible feeling of that interview with Tommy went great. You know, we were developing a friend, you know, maybe whatever podcasting friendship you can have with a celebrity. Right.
Totally.
And he's like, Jess, you're so funny because like I'm trying to make him laugh and have fun with him. Right. He's like, yeah, my wife's a comedian. I really want you to meet her. And so I haven't reached out to him because I always feel like the moment I would, I'd have to bring that up.
Man, I really feel for you. Yeah, God bless you. You know, I talked with Joe Roop recently. And yeah,
I caught some of that.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
I've been frustrated lately, but I've had a lot darker times. And when I'm frustrated, I look back on some of those darker times for perspective. And I also look back on the other, you know, people say not to relativize your own suffering. And there is a danger in that. But I also think there's such a strength, you know, in doing that and seeing some of the terrible things that other people have overcome. Like we talked about the Elephant Man and like how that guy is just the way he was treated. He could have been like a violent serial killer, but he was basically like a Buddha, just a masterclass on acceptance and grace. And, you know, we've talked about the afterlife a little bit and things like that. And I don't know what the whole deal is, but I've thought about this a lot and just, you know, I don't even try to really get answers, but like, I look into these things, and if I can synthesize, you know, just boil it down to like fewest words, what my best guess is, or like, what is any takeaway out of any of this? And I think that, you know, regardless, is God's will, God's plan for struggle and things like that, however you want to put it, I don't know what it is, but struggle and handling that with grace and dignity, that seems to count for more than anything else after this life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you can slice it in a million different ways you want to, but regardless of what your religious outlook is, if you can handle the struggle, and it's not to say it's not going to be terrible or painful, but if you can handle it and not let it jade you, then that's it. Like, that's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's how we come out of the situations and how we deal with it.
Amen. Amen. Like the elephant man, he couldn't even smile because his jaw was so warped. Like, he couldn't even smoke cigarettes, you know. There's some of the most basic joys in life, and that guy still kept it together. So, I don't know. Don't relativize your own suffering out there, listeners, but if the elephant man could enjoy his last days without being able to smile or smoke a cigarette, like,
there you go.
Yeah, come on, you can do it. I promise you. So I really hope you get Tommy Chong back on, and I appreciate you being so open with us here.
Of course.
Yeah, and you know, God bless you. And
no, thank you.
Yeah, when you get Tommy back on, we are definitely I will definitely be throwing that around. The we're in the background of the show, like there's alchemy. And then there's like, we play music, and like one of the big sub layers is we love smoking weed here. So we will definitely, I'll blast that around to the listeners and make sure they hear that. So before we kind of give a wrap up, and
yeah,
you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on anything else. What are some other interesting guests that maybe you'd like to tease people's ears with right now?
God, I sat there the other day and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, how many people have you talked to over the years?
Yeah, it's really cool. You've like, it's hard to keep up with. You ought to make, I don't know if you have this already, but you ought to make like a best of playlist on YouTube something.
You know, you're right. That is a good idea. I should do a best of. Because I have talked to so many different people, like, you know, from like people like Tommy Chong and David Icke, all the way to just like listeners who've had like strange experiences that they wanted to share. You know what I mean? So I've talked to like everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do that, because we're recording this a little bit in advance. If you do that and send it my way, I'll put that in the show description.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Best of. No, that is a good idea. Thank you very much for that.
Absolutely.
So, but coming, yeah.
Where, like, we talked about a lot of different concepts. So, you know, no pressure to give people, like, any specific takeaways. But what would you, any takeaways here for people? Any good, like, material that you'd like, you know, books you've been reading lately, maybe? Like, how do you... Any advice for people navigating some of these uncharted waters?
You know, I say, you know, a lot of these things you look at, you know, sometimes I guess this is what I'd say. You can let the research start on the internet and then like off of video or something, but don't take that like YouTube video at 100%, you know, like go out, read the books. I'm always like buying and reading new books. And I can tell you what I've been reading recently. Let's see, hold on. So recently I've been reading The Secret Destiny of America, Manly Hall.
Ooh, good one.
The Dream, David Icke, his newer book, it's good. What else do I have? I've been reading this interesting, I just like before the show today, I was kind of like looking around, you know, doing a little internet surfing, and God, oh, this is what it's called. I came across this article called "The Government Really Is Spying on You and It's Legal." So I came across this article on Political, right? Because, you know, here's just like an example, right? To take away, right?
Yeah.
Like, say you want to look, okay, so Edward Snowden came out years ago and he told us that they're basically surveilling us, right? They're spying on us through our phones and whatnot, right? So that's kind of like a real conspiracy, right? So I found this book that literally just came out this month, and I already read the first chapter. But, you know, it kind of goes in a rabbit hole like that. So I found this book, so I'm going to read it to get a little more information, but it's called Means of Control, How the Hidden Alliance of Tech and Government is Creating a New American Surveillance State.
Wow.
It looks super interesting. It just came out. This journalist went out and interviewed all these people. So he's got all his sources, everything cited in the book as well. It's not just like conjecture or, you know, he thinks this. No, he talked to this dude and this is what this dude said on record.
Fascinating. Wow. I'll have to check that out. That sounds comprehensive.
It does. Like I'm already like deep. I'm like first chapter. I'm totally into it.
Righteous. And also, before I forget, you brought up Manly P. Hall's work there. Have you heard of, because if you haven't, I think this would be a great guest that you should get on. I'm going to be talking with him before too long. I feel kind of silly that I haven't come across this guy before, but there is a guy named Ronnie Pontiac who is, how would you word it? He is the last student of Manly P. Hall before he died. So like there are other people out there that knew Manly P. Hall, obviously, that are still alive and that were taught by him. But Ronnie was the last dude that he took on as a student. That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So and he's I don't think, you know, he's been around for a while, but I get the sense that he's kind of like jumping back into the mix, because I saw him on someone's show sometime at the end of last year, and I'm seeing him pop around more, and seems like a really cool guy. And I can't wait to pick his brain more, because he has a lot of fascinating like anecdotal stories about like the time he spent with Manly Hall and stuff. So yeah, pretty
that's
crazy.
Cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. So yeah, a teaser for any listeners out there, and you know, not to jinx it, knock on wood, I guess, but it's scheduled in the books, so we'll see what happens. All right, Jess Rogge. Any closing comments for listeners out there, and where can people find you?
Okay. Well, first, I guess keep an open mind, but also, you know, use your critical thinking skills when coming across different things. You know, a lot of these things are fun to look into, but you can't believe everything at 100% at what you're reading all the time, right? So
especially
be aware.
With AI these days.
That's a whole nother thing with the AI writing all this stuff. It's just going to become this weird feedback loop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, be aware of AI, guys. Be aware. That's my warning to you. But yeah, you can find me on YouTube. I'm on Spreaker. I do live shows. I also do pre-recorded shows on YouTube. Just look up Escape the Simulation Radio. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram mostly. And we do also have a show page on Facebook.
Hell yeah.
I do want to thank you, Anthony, so much for coming on. And I'm so excited. I was so excited for this. And I look forward to you coming on my show.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to do that soon. April at the latest. Okay. I came out the gate swinging with this new year.
Good job.
Trying to, thank you. I've been exhausted. I do plenty of solo shows, and I was like, I really got to get more guests on just because I want to talk to all these people like you. And,
thank you.
Yeah, hell yeah. And, so where was I going with that? So I got March pretty booked up as well. But then I'm kind of taking a break, and I'm going to do more solo shows for a little bit, I think. And that's going to open me up to jump on other people's shows. So you're at the top of the list.
Oh, hell yeah. So we'll get it scheduled maybe for sometime in April that works for you. I don't know if you want to come on live or pre-recorded. I'll leave that up to you.
We could do live. That's always fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I got a great audience. I got a great live audience that comes in, and, you know, they always ask great questions, and they're always a part of the conversation.
Awesome. I can't wait for it. Yeah, we'll get that in the books so that it doesn't creep up on us.
Yeah, I know, right? Because time will fly and then we're like, ah, shit, it's April.
Yep, always does. All right, folks. Well, go check out Miss Jess Rogie's action in the show description, Escape the Simulation Radio, and keep your eyes peeled for that best of list out there.
Yeah,
a lot of good
you.
Content. Yeah, for sure. And don't forget, this has been Black Hoodie Alchemy. You could check out all my action in that show description as well. Thanks for tuning in. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Smoke weed and God bless.
Yeah, you all been struggling lately. The way it appears that I be hustling daily. I'm making money off this rap career, but nothing crazy. It doesn't change me, even when the song is buzzing pays me. It don't compare to what a couple years of suffering made me. I'm touching fame slowly, but I've been studying my lane closely. Kid to gain control of what this game owes me. It can't hold me. My chains broke with pain strokes. The stain show me, yo, the major labor wage for slaves only. So why did I decide to do it all myself, player? I'd rather rot in a grave than a self slayer. If one of these snobby users offer you, that's well paid. These zombie losers Hollywood, go Hollywood like L.A. is. I navigated hell's 12 layers and put the spell on the frail, but fails on these verbal shell sprayers. If commercial sales pay us, then let it be how it is. But kids don't even know who P-Rock is. You only matter if your feet got hits, if your feet got kicks, your heat got clips, the street got breaks. We peed y'all pricks on the net. Y'all saying that we lack emotion. Music's the only way we make it past emotions. You figure it out, kid. I'm trying to make it off the flow and the beat. I'm a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision, and that's to make it off a flow and a beat. Just a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision.
Correctional facility for kings and queens. Dreams, fuck a crown, I'd rather you give me the keys. Breathe with the heart of a lion. To the industry, I'm sort of a tyrant. Till the day they mourning your highness. Minute I recorded is timeless. Since a little nigga was known as a giant, through the stone at Goliath. Name biblical, game critical, same criminal. Not the one that the flames listen to. Gang general F, one that sold the salute. I let the truth float at the booth. Casanova cozy in the coop, cooling as usual. Conquering newer grounds. You had to line them up, I had to shoot them down. Clown niggas should work for Barnum and Bailey's. Sean's a short shot, you more of a maybe. Maybe I'm even deeper than the abyss. And my shit guaranteed to blow a speaker when it hit.
I'm trying to make it off the flow and the beat. I'm a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision, and that's to make it off a flow and the beat. Just a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision. Yeah.
Swallow the bass till it buries the drums. Try a sample, how does it taste? I'm as rare as it comes. Hit the track and tire with the race, don't compare me to none. Normal standards but legendary to some. An arrogant one to get this profit off a bigger cake. My work ethic ain't for granted. I was granted this intensive trail. You got the game twisted, nigga. I don't twist for bait. It's common sense. Even these simple bitches got expensive taste. But when I'm on, we should hold a celebration. Pop this bottle with Don and have a toast to salutation. Get his opening speech that I wrote for presentation. And shorty can hit the pole like a voter's registration tonight. Truth be told, I'm with the finest in between. Stand in front of my rivals, ride or die by any means. I promise to hold my title. My alliance is supreme. My belt is like my disciples. In this Bible, I'm the king.
I'm the king.
And when it's all said and done, I don't see the rest. My DNA was bred for the blood just to be the best. In other words, I'm a seasoned vet. As long as it's air in my lungs, I'ma breathe success. We the best.
I'm trying to make it off the flow and the beat. I'm a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision, and that's to make it off the flow and the beat. Just a dope fiend with bold dreams but nowhere to sleep. I'm a prisoner to my ambitions, a fly visitor from higher distance. My eyes glisten with a pious vision. Yeah, 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 yeah.